Hello, my friends, it's Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel to every corner of the earth as much as we possibly can, whatever we can do to reach those unreached people. We'd love for you to check out the website, see if there's any content that would deepen your walk with Christ, have him speak to your heart. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is living. And we'll meet you where you are. There's books to read, pastors to listen to, worship bands that you may never have heard of, Bible resources as well. And we have a comment section. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line, whatever it may be. If you have a question that we could answer or something that we could help with in terms of a friend that is far from God or is a Muslim and needs to understand more about what that process of converting over would look like. I'd love to help with that. And if you care to donate, you can click the little donate now button and partner with us.
Yes. And while you're watching, make sure and comment. Let us know what you think about the devotional, what you think about A.W. Tozier's words in regard to the message today. Maybe you have some thoughts about the scripture that we're going to be reading. Or maybe comments about what it is we say. There's so much for you to comment about that you should be commenting constantly. And then what you want to do is let us know if you have any prayer requests. Towards the end of the show, we'll be closing out in prayer, and we would love to include your prayer request in doing so. And then down in the description, you'll see our sponsors, LifeWise being one of those sponsors. It's a faith-based, Christian-based company that is called LifeWise, because it wants you to make wise choices about your life.
That's
trying to come up with something new. It's great supplements that will help you sleep. It will reduce inflammation. We have many viewers who use the Restore, which is right here. It's not in this packaging anymore, unfortunately, but it didn't change the pill and how it works, but make sure and get some Restore. It's amazing. I use it every day and sleep almost every day to get some good sound sleep. I should have used some for my nap today because I wouldn't have snored. When I use the sleep, I don't snore as much.
You think so? I noticed your head position.
Oh,
when you're lying flat and your chin is down, you can't breathe well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then you're just...
They push my chin
up? I tried to open your mouth too, because you weren't getting air, so you're just... So I went like this, and I got open your mouth, and you stopped throwing for a minute.
It doesn't sound like trumpets, heavenly trumpets.
I don't know what the heavenly trumpets sound like.
If it does, are you going to be very disappointed?
I will.
So go to livelifewise.tv, use that URL because that will allow them to know it's coming from our show. And then StreamYard. Go to getstreamyardnow.com and try it out. You'll be able to broadcast your own show to your friends and family and the rest of the world. And it's really simple to use. And there's a free version. Hedy's going to turn on the air conditioning because the studio gets so hot with all these lights. But go get StreamYardNow.com. All right. And then lastly, I want to make sure that you open your Bibles to Revelation 15, 2 through 4. Revelation 15, 2 through 4. We'll be reading that in just a little bit. I'll leave that up on the screen so you can refer to it. And we're reading from A.W. Tozier for the question. A.W. Tozier for the Christian Leader. It's June 8th, and the title is Why They Act Like Idiots. One of my favorite titles so far, Schnugs.
I can imagine.
I just love it. The reference in this devotional is Revelation 15, 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. All nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Without worship, we go about miserable. And is it miserably? Well, that just sounds funny in that sentence. Without worship, we go about miserable. That's why we have all the troubles we have. You wonder why young people act like such idiots. Mm-hmm. Some young people have a lot of energy and don't know what to do with it. So they go out and act like idiots. And that's why gangsters and communists and sinners of all kinds do what they do. They are endowed by God Almighty with brilliant intelligence and an amazing store of energy. And because they don't know what to do with it, they do the wrong thing. That's why I'm not angry with people when I see them go off the deep end, because I know that they have fallen from their first estate along with Adam's brood and all of us together. They have been redeemed, and so they have energy they don't know what to do with. They have capacity they don't know how to use. They have skills and don't know where to put them. And so they go wild, and police have to arrest 16-year-olds and put them in jail. If they had been taught that they came into the world in the first place to worship God and to enjoy him forever, and that when they fell, Jesus Christ came to redeem them, to make worshipers out of them, they could, by the Holy Ghost and the washing of the blood, be made into worshiping saints, and things would be so different. Schnugs.
Lord, I pray, especially for young people today, reveal yourself this day to someone who really needs to see you and needs to see the purpose for which they came into the world. Amen.
Amen. That's a good one.
And a lot of things that occurred to me in this one.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Then you might as well start.
Okay. So teaching our kids that they were created to worship. I don't think that that's the first thing on our mind, right? We try to tell our kids about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We basically try to teach them why they need to buy fire insurance. That otherwise you're going to hell. So you have to believe in Jesus.
Right.
Oh, camera was unplugged. Can they still hear us?
Yes. Keep talking.
Okay. So sorry, we're going to get a battery right now. So we teach them that they need to buy fire insurance. They need to believe in Jesus or they're going to hell. That's not a hard sell, if you ask me. But then we tell them, work hard, get good grades, stay off of drugs, don't have sex. All these things that we recite to children that we tell them basically qualifies them for being good. And we don't talk to them about being worshipers. At least I don't think that me and Andy do. I don't know about the rest of you, but basically telling our kids, everything else you do, nothing will be as significant as being a worshiper of God. Nothing you do will ever matter as much as that.
True.
And actually, this came up in a discussion. Dr. Catherine put up a post and said, if your kid got straight A's and got into the best college and has an amazing job but doesn't know Jesus, you failed. And I was like, sister, that is so true. Because yep. The opposite is also true. Hmm. If your kid got mediocre grades, has a menial job, but is content and loves Jesus, you won.
Right.
But we don't really emphasize that. We're like, okay, loving Jesus is a given, and I need you to do all these other things. You know,
Yeah. Instead
of saying you were created to worship. What matters most to me is that you are a worshiper. Mm. If you are a worshiper, everything else will fall into place.
You know what? It just occurred to me as you were talking about this, and we were talking about teenagers, the young man that unfortunately lost his life in a car crash. You read something that you found out, yes, that he loved Jesus, a believer.
Yes, because one of the parents' moms said, "We'll miss you very much. My girls miss you every single minute of the day, but we'll see you again in heaven."
Mm. And so, I mean, what a relief. There's a relief that comes from that.
Yes.
So that is what you were just talking about is so true.
Yes.
Like we'd be more devastated.
I'd just be traumatized at the thought that they're burning in hell.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I was going to talk to him about Jesus.
Right.
But thank God this Zach is his name. Zach was a believer.
Right.
It's it changes.
Yeah, I can't actually. I look forward to telling Zara too. I don't know if they knew.
Wow.
I don't know if the kids ever talk about that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
People closest to him knew, but I don't know if the broader circle knew.
Hmm.
And Carrie says, see, I never learned I was created to worship. It makes everything clear. Isn't it true? I mean, I'm just coming to terms with that now. I mean, that's something actually the Lord's walking me through based on putting on my heart, Revelation 4 and 5, and putting these four creatures on my book, and just constantly thinking about worship. How can I worship more? I'm created to worship. And how do I now express that to my child? That nothing matters more than worship, being a worshiper. So I love that. But I also, what I found interesting is Tozer equated youth and energy with intelligence. Like, he's like, they're very intelligent and hence they get in a lot of trouble. Very naughty kids are often very intelligent. But I just found that interesting that he included intelligence in the naughty description.
He did.
Yeah. They become crafty criminals.
Well, I love this because it's interesting that each one of our kids, as we look at all of them, from Courtney down to Bo, that's from 10 years old to 39, right?
29. 30. She's now 30.
29. So, oh my gosh. 30. I made myself way older.
Yes.
29 all the way down to 10. And all unique personalities. We have one yet that we need to convince to come to Christ.
Yes.
I don't know if convincing is the right word. We need to show her the way to, you know, and God will do the rest of the work. But at different stages, you see that idiotic behavior from time to time that overpowers their belief system.
Yes.
And they know Jesus. All of them know Jesus.
Right.
And from time to time, it's just like the world grabs them for a second, grabs them by the nose, and
all of us.
That's true. We see it happen, and tell me if I'm wrong. I hope I'm not wrong, but I see it becoming less and less and less, where I don't see it as much. In the early stages of, you know, the radio play used to be a big issue, right? And I personally had this issue with certain types of songs.
I think that was just because everybody realized you were going to die on that hill.
Yes.
So but it worked. You know what I mean? So they just thought it was worth pushing, but not anymore.
But every so often a song will come on. They go, oh, wait, keep it on, or keep, we like this song. So there is an acceptance, and yet a, what is the word when you start to like something? I mean, when it goes from tolerating, like there's things we just tolerate and we go, okay, I guess we can't change this. We're gonna have to sit through this until it's over, to a point where now you hear like Rhett and Bo sing the words out loud.
When it's
a worship song, Brandon Lake comes on, or especially for King and Country, cause they all love for King and Country. Zara wanting to leave early. Hey, you know, because that used to be the opposite,
right?
And it wasn't necessarily us saying we have to leave on time or we want you to be ready. There was other things that occurred. She began to find friends and people that were that she had connected with that were lovers of Jesus, and it's all these combinations of things that bring them closer to God. It's the patience and not giving up and the praying and staying strong and having hills that you don't die on.
Having hills that you're willing to die on. You may not die, but you are willing to die on them.
You know, and then the great thing, and I'm going to, and this is where I want to end, because as I'm reading this too, it is like what I would tell anybody that wants to be a public speaker, anybody wants to be a trainer, is that, you know what, the one thing is you get to a certain level by being a follower of a craft, for instance, like a magician. I would read and learn from the best magicians, or I would learn and read from the best dog trainers. But it wasn't until I became a trainer and began to teach other people and have to hold my ground and say, no, you have to do it this way, that I then became the better dog trainer.
Oh.
As a teacher, you become smarter. You don't always become when you teach.
Oh, from teaching.
Being a teacher and guiding people and saying it over and over and over again, it begins to change you. You become stronger in your faith and in your craft, because as an instructor and a teacher, you become smarter.
And you research more, you spend more time with the material.
People ask questions and you go,
oh, I didn't think of that.
I better find the answer to that question.
Yes.
And so for us, I think also being the teachers to our children, being the examples, we've had to be better.
Yes.
And with us having to be better because we're trying to show little ones what to do, we've become better and stronger Christians.
Absolutely.
So I think that's been valuable to us. So fantastic. Carrie says,
good teachers do learn more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. So another thing, I like that he points out here that remember, these people that are naughty and idiots have fallen from their first estate, meaning they still have a sinful nature. Mm-hmm. And I had a interesting conversation with a friend today who was just like, I don't get these Christian and name only people. Like, I just don't get it. Why bother? Why do you bother to have one foot in and one foot out? And then I tell him, okay, well, it's about the fire insurance. But if it even more than that, like, why do you try to pray? Why do you think God's going to answer your prayers? Like, what do you really believe there's somebody there? Mm. Like, you know, you go get loaded and then you come home and you pray. It's like, I don't get that. Like, why do people do that? And I said, what's so important that we all need to understand, like Tozer's pointing out, is that we are not doing anything in our own strength. The restrainer, the advocate, the redeemer is living inside of us. Were he not inside of us, we'd be just like everybody else. I am absolutely convinced that the people that are Christian in name only, not backslidden, but Christian in name only, one foot in, one foot out, no transformation, no change in their lives, they just go to church every week, is because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. Because once the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you, he convicts you of sin. So even though you continue to sin, you cannot live a life of utter debauchery unless you consciously say to yourself, I am walking away from Jesus right now. I am living a life of sin and I don't care, or I'm miserable and therefore I'm going to do this anyways. But you have to really fight to be able to do that. And so we have to be patient with people that are either one foot in or one foot out until they come all the way over, or at least just, you know, talk to them with a certain amount of grace and love, but still speak the truth until they come over to the other side. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I have a question. And I don't know if this is a cop-out, but I think they're like me.
I don't believe you had this Holy Spirit.
True. I know I did. But is some of it based on the, and I know we talk about this maybe far too much, but is it somewhat of, it comes from whoever is teaching you on Sundays? I mean, could you think that I'm a perfectly fine Christian based on what I'm being told? I'm not told that there's more to it than just the scriptures that are easy to teach on that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. Because until you read Revelation, until you read Romans, until you read, you know, Exodus.
But I don't think the church you were going to was that retarded that they weren't. I mean, I was there for a good 6 to 8 months. You know what I mean? Like, they were giving scripture that could still have convicted you. Mm. I just think that, and I also believe that you don't need, the Holy Spirit will convict you, regardless of whether you're reading that Bible or not. Like, he knows what you should be doing and not doing.
Yeah, because there were spirit-filled people attending the same church.
Of course. Of course. And so the restrainer has the capacity to speak into your ear, regardless of whether you've memorized the Bible or not.
And I was still going there when I finally fell to my knees and said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Right. But you had an encounter. And that,
then I had an encounter.
Yep. Yeah. And that changed you. Now, do we know exactly at what moment that, he indwelled you? Oh, who knows? Mm-hmm. But clearly something changed.
Well, I felt it when I, just confessed and said, I realize what I've been doing. I ask for your forgiveness, and I want to move forward from here to be a follower of yours and to be a better
father. Human.
A better human, but a better father. Being a better father means being a better human, I think.
Yes.
But I felt then, from that point, my life began to change as I accepted as my Holy Spirit, accepted him as my Lord and Savior for real.
For realsies.
Yeah.
So Carrie says, the strange thing is we go off the rails, get the consequences, survive them, and then do the exact same thing again. See, that is the definition of insanity. And I don't believe, unless you're truly like in a very dark backslidden place, do believers do that? Do followers of Christ that are filled with the Spirit? Spirit-filled believers.
Yeah.
I think that there's enough scripture to tell us that that doesn't happen with people that are followers of the Lord.
And then our follow-up comment is definitely key.
Submission is the key. You have to yield to the Spirit, for sure.
Yeah. So what does God have to say about all this? Oh my gosh, go away. Thank me. Revelation 15, 2-4.
Yes. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Amen.
Amen.
So they have these martyrs, these are the tribulation martyrs, have overcome all that the Antichrist has put out before men. And if you're a premillennial, you believe the church is watching from up above. All of this happened, but they get harps like the 24 elders. So they get to use these harps, and again, pointing to the significance of music in heaven. So awesome. Mm. And worship. All nations shall come and worship before you. You are holy, worthy of worship.
It's awesome. You know, it's interesting. In 3, it says they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. It has 3 titles for 1 song. Were we reading that earlier?
The title is 2, Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. Servant of God is a description of the Song of Moses.
Okay.
But it symbolizes, what the commentary said, the marriage between the old and the new covenant, the law and the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and love. So it's the marrying of these two icons of our faith, Moses and Jesus, and that all comes together to worship the Lord. That's where we all end up. Wow. Jew and Gentile. Gentile grafted into the believers.
Are we going to know, because everybody gets a new body, so I'm assuming that Moses and
yes, we're still going to
King David and King Solomon all got
glorified bodies,
and they may look slightly different.
Then we're just going to sell them.
Yeah. Well, of course, the paintings of the pictures.
How funny would that be if, like, that Moses actually looks like Denzel Washington, and not he doesn't have white hair.
Why Denzel Washington?
Well, because I'm trying to compare, like, like Duck Dynasty. How different is the image of Duck Dynasty and Denzel Washington? Like, they just they're nothing alike. So you're looking for Duck Dynasty guy Robertson, and he looks like Denzel. You're like, wait, who's Moses?
So are we just gonna, because things just, I mean, just we know. Just we just know, right?
Yes, we just know. We will have no more questions.
You think we're all going to look the same? Because I don't know if I want that. I think I like variety.
As Pastor Jack says, we all look better versions of ourselves.
Oh,
we will still be able to recognize our relatives, people that we knew. We won't miss the people that aren't there, but we will recognize the people that we did know that are there. And we will recognize ourselves. So we're like the new and improved, amazing version of ourselves.
No,
we should be very.
So when we walk by a mirror, we will go, wait, oh.
Oh, I love this. Jan says maybe they'll have name tags.
Holy name tags.
I love that. Carrie says, in my age, I know better 99% of the time. Yeah, I think all of us, for the most part, do. 1 Corinthians 13:12. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
So what else? What else are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered both the devotional and the scripture. I mean, it's just, it's awesomeness. I mean, it just makes me try to get a picture of what that looks like when we are there. And Moses and David and Solomon and Adam and Eve are all just hanging out. Like, we're suddenly in a,
right,
like on the red carpet with all the main stars of the Bible. Like, do we walk by, are they... Do we walk by and give them high fives as we come down and everybody's going, yes?
Well, that takes us back to the first. I want to say this scripture because I love this scripture. I didn't know the number. It is, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. So all will be revealed. But I think that's kind of like the Bema seat discussion where will our place be? Based on how much we did for the kingdom. Are you in the bleachers? Are you in the nosebleed section? Are you VIP? Do you have floor passes? I don't know. It's a thought. It's a thought about how much you offered yourself as a living sacrifice, how much you gave of your talents, that the Lord will exalt you.
What's the verse that talks about the less will be more and the more
talents?
Yeah.
The one about giving him 10, the one who is given more is expected, or the one where he gave him 10 talents versus 5 talents versus one, the guy with one buried it.
No, there's one about, I think it's about people, like the lesser of someone is actually more.
The least of the kingdom is the greatest.
Yes.
Yes.
So if that's the philosophy of God, then we should be in the front row. Well, at least I should be.
He doesn't mean least because as in crappy, he means least as in. Are you kidding? There'd be a huge fight for the front row then. Holy cow. We'd all be like, no. I'm really a jerk. I deserve the front seat. No. It's the least of us as in servants. Humility, meekness.
I served 4 kids for 8 hours today.
You did.
I should be in the front row.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I was a slave to 4 little kids.
If he thinks that's important. Some say this verse indicates that people will know others as well as be known by others. Amen.
So you won't be known as Andy's wife? You'll be known as Hedia?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, that's what we learned from Pastor Jack, that there was no marriage. You will not be married. We're all married to Jesus. Or the bride. Which is interesting, right? I'll see you, but I won't be thinking of you as my husband.
Yeah. You're going to go back to the way you were when you were in Beverly Hills High, where if you go, hey, Gardner, go get me.
No, remember, we're really nice.
How are you?
Yes. No pain, no tears. We're kind. We eat all the sourdough bread we want.
Oh, I love sourdough bread.
Yes.
With a lot of butter, too.
Lots of butter.
I actually now put a little bit of butter.
Yes.
But in my head, I want to put a lot more butter.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I did the other day? I went to, what's that place you don't like that much? But it's the breakfast place that's over by Borden Brew.
The egg, not fantabulous.
Egg crack or something like that. Cracked eggs. They served me this fantastic sourdough bread.
Oh,
with my omelet.
Oh.
And there's some really good butter on there. But you know what I did? They had this great little dollop of strawberry jam. And it was like actually almost like big pieces of strawberry.
Yes.
I hardly ever put jam. I don't ever put jam on my toast. I know I'm really weird that way.
Your kids don't.
I slathered my toast with the strawberry jam. Oh my God. Why does anybody tell me this is so amazing? They have toast, butter, and jam.
I put my eggs on top of that with the jam.
What?
It's so good. It's like a crepe. Anybody ever have omelets or jam? Because I'm telling you, it's amazing. I get omelets and I put jam on them.
I can't imagine. I'm not a person, as you know, that I have my sweets with my sours.
Yeah.
But,
awesome.
But I put that strawberry jam on my toast the other day. It was amazing.
Everything is better with butter. Fully agree.
Yes. Butter and gravy. Gravy is amazing. When I have that chicken fried steak with gravy.
What chicken fried steak?
Anywhere.
Oh.
Kino's.
Yeah, see? Carrie eats jam and eggs too.
What? You guys are so odd.
It's like a crepe.
I don't even put jam. Like I said, I've never put even jam on my toast, which I thought was weird. They always give you jam. I go, why do you give me jam on my toast?
You put jam on peanut butter.
Peanut butter? Yeah, that's where it belongs. Jam only belongs on peanut butter. Until yesterday when I put it on my toast with peanut butter. It was amazing.
Sounds delicious. I know, right?
Yeah, the omelet I had was a short rib omelet. Yes. You know.
Andy eats well. If I die and come back as another person, I'm going to come back as Andy. Because he eats literally whatever he wants. It must be so nice.
Short rib omelet, hash browns, and sourdough toast with butter.
And jam.
And jam.
With the first short time. Rib omelet.
For the first time at 62 years of age. So
you definitely mixed your savories and stuff. And sweets.
Who knew you could put those things together and actually enjoy them?
See that?
I'm one of those people that really don't like my food to touch on the plate either. Yeah. Very much. Yeah. And then we have your friend, Jason, comes over. We have him over for dinner and he mixes everything in his plate together, like makes a soup.
Oh, really?
Yes. He mixes everything. They go, what is going on? It's like, he makes it into just one thing.
Because it's those weight trainers, you know, he's used to taking the big Tupperware filled with food and just throw everything in it.
That's why I'm not a big fan of skillets and bowls of stuff. Oh. I'm just not a big fan of that. I will eat them on occasion, like a flame broiler on occasion.
Yeah.
But I don't like it all in one thing. I like them.
I do.
Oh my gosh.
I like
Am I the weird one?
Carrie says she loves a pancake with syrup and an egg on top. Yes.
No, the egg has to be on a separate plate.
No. You have to eat it together.
No.
The egg cuts down the sweetness of the pancake. That's another skinny day food I'm missing.
So wrong.
The Flappy Jack pancakes.
The egg has to be separate from the pancakes on a separate plate. I tell them over at the cafe that we go to, Paul's Country Kitchen. I said, I want the Debbie's, which is French toast, egg, and bacon.
Yes.
I said, can you put the egg on a separate plate?
Yes.
It cannot be on there, which is strange because French toast is made with egg on it.
I would understand if you told her to put the bacon on a separate plate because it's, you know, it's.
It makes it so stupid.
Smelly carcass.
It's so stupid. Oh my gosh.
I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah. I love pancake. I don't know. You put egg on top of your pancake.
Yeah. Or at least rub it around.
Is it over easy or over hard?
No. Scrambled. Not over easy.
Yeah, you can't handle any liquid left on your eggs.
Yeah. It could have a little liquid, but not liquid on top of a pancake. Right, Carrie? It's scrambled.
Hers is over easy, I bet.
No.
On the pancake.
No.
Yeah, tell us, Carrie. Let's
Nobody
hear.
Wants drippy on top of a pancake and syrup. Oh, no. Okay, getting back to Jesus.
Have you eaten with jam and eggs, Kelly? Oh, Kelly, she's talking to Kelly.
Yeah, Carrie's asking Kelly.
Jam and eggs.
She thinks it sounds delicious, though.
Over easy for me. I told you it was over easy.
That I can't do. It has to be scrambled. Scrambled I can do. I can't do it over easy with a pancake and have the yolk dripping down the pancake.
So funny.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Thank you all for joining us. Silly discussion.
I have one more question. This has been really bothering me. I texted you, but you didn't answer my question. And I want to know actually what our friends do.
Did you text me and ask me a question?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
A couple of days
ago. No, it was when you were at your mom's.
You asked me if I wash my feet in the shower.
Did you answer it?
I had a very long answer.
But really?
You know what? I tell my friends this is what my husband does. Say, my husband, anytime that somebody complains, I tell him, my husband asks me questions. And then hours later, he may respond to the question he asked me. I was like, why did you ask me questions and not listen to the answer?
Because you don't respond right away.
I do.
No, you didn't respond right away.
I'm going to tell you how long it took. You asked me questions. How was your day, lovey? And then I respond right away and you know nothing. Bzz, silence. Complete silence. I'm going to tell you right here. And why were you asking me that?
I don't know. I heard somebody else discussing that. I forget where. Maybe it was on Fox and Friends. I think they were talking about
9 o'clock. You asked the question.
Yeah.
9:15. I respond.
See, hopefully I'd already moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
I got in the car and started driving. I asked you that question. Where was I? I was like at the coffee shop. Yeah, and I waited for like for 5 minutes.
You kick up at 9 o'clock here at the coffee shop?
I think so. It was somewhere. Oh, at night?
Yeah.
Wow. That was at nighttime?
Yes.
That must have been bothering me all day because Fox and Friends is a morning show.
What was the point of the question?
Do you wash your feet in the shower?
I know. What's the point of the question?
I thought about that. I go, that's really funny. I don't wash my feet in the shower.
Well, and then Zara heard the question. She's like, how could you not wash your feet? I'm like, well, because the soap is dripping down from my body onto the floor
right.
of the shower. Why do I have to specifically scrub them? And I think it's a little different for the kids because their feet stink. And I told them, and I said, you wear your shoes without socks. And so you get all these little weird particles because she wears Uggs most of the time. And then so they get all these little fuzzies in their feet and other weird smelly stuff from the inside of the shoe.
Yep.
So.
If my feet get dirty because of maybe
being at the beach or
something like that, then I wash my feet. But it's a lot of work to get down there and wash those things. Like we have a step that we can put it on.
I sit I also told you I use a callus remover. So I sit.
Oh.
So in that instance, I do use soap and water on my feet.
Huh. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting question because I never really thought about it. I don't think my parents ever told me. Wash your feet.
Are you sure?
I don't think so. I mean, when I used to take a bath, I'd wash my feet.
Oh, my dad wouldn't let us take
a bath. But the shower is too dangerous. You can slip and fall reaching down for the, you know, trying to bring that foot up so you can.
You know, we weren't allowed to take baths.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
you're not supposed to soak in your own disgusting water. My dad's like, no baths, no soap.
You know what? Even as a kid, I used to, you know, put shampoo in my hair and then try to figure out how am I going to get the water on my, get the soap out of my hair. And then I'm thinking, well, the soap's still in the water when I lift my head up out of the water.
When you're in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I have to do it again. And so then I push the suds and I put my head down like that.
See? What madness it is? Yes. That's what my dad wanted to avoid.
No wonder. My mom never took a shower. She only took baths. Only ever in her entire life.
But she had a lot of yeast infections. That is not good for your feminine parts.
Because, of course, in our home when growing up, my mom had her bathroom and my dad had his bathroom.
Oh, nice.
His was brown, you know, brown towels. And hers was pink and very
ours is brown
flowery wallpaper and only a bathtub.
And did you guys have a bathroom?
No, we just had two bathrooms.
So where'd you guys go?
I took baths in my mom's bathtub until I was
35. There was only two bathrooms. No. So there was two bathrooms in the house and it belonged to them two. You guys didn't get one.
No, we had to use those. We had to use theirs.
You had to use theirs.
Yes.
Okay.
So I took a bath until I was probably about 9 or 10.
Did your mom let you use the bathtub?
There was no letting. It was just that's what we used.
What did your dad use?
He used a shower in his bathroom.
That's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't she make you guys take a shower?
She didn't care.
She didn't care.
I don't know. No one. That's just what we did. And then when I graduated to a shower, then I took showers in my dad's bathroom.
Oh, okay.
But until I didn't like it because old, he would use the shower. He would use the bathroom, you know, the toilet. Uh-huh. And it was like, he had to wait.
Yes.
We didn't have fans in those days.
Yes. Yeah, see, curious thing, who takes a bath washing in dirty soapy water? Exactly.
My mom my for dad, entire life.
That's what my dad used to say. No baths in this house. That's gross. So I grew up thinking they were gross.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so funny.
I mean, it's dirty, soapy water.
And yet we have this huge bathtub in our bathroom that never gets used.
Exactly. For that reason.
It has jacuzzi. It has everything.
I've occasionally used a jacuzzi when I've been in terrible pain. Hmm. But I just put, I'm clean. I don't go in there to get clean.
Our bathtub's so big, we could actually give baptisms in that bathtub.
Good, possibly.
It takes a lot of water too. It takes forever to fill up.
Oh, did you try it finally?
I have tried it.
Yeah.
But it takes like, cool. You start the water and you leave, you go watch a 2-hour movie, come back, and then you turn off the water.
Anyways.
What does this have to do with the devotional?
Nothing. I keep trying to rein you back in, but it's very difficult. You get off the reservation and then you giggle and giggling and
I needed an answer to that question.
Yeah.
If I would have went to my text, I would have seen it.
I think we need to go back to why do we raise idiots? Don't be guilty of raising an idiot. It's very important. It's very important.
What's Kelly saying yes to?
Take a shower and then a bath is for soaking. And Kelly says yes.
Oh, exactly. I see.
You don't wash in a bath. Dirty, soapy water right there.
I just thought all women took baths. I grew up thinking that all women take baths.
It's only women that should not take baths.
Wow. I've never.
For the reason I've explained in an appropriate fashion, we have private parts that should not be mixed with dirty water. Boys don't have those private parts. They're genetically composed in a different fashion.
They have a snorkel. They have a snorkel.
And Carrie's saying she encourages you. Quite possibly.
Thank you, Carrie. Wow. This has been an amazing devotional.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for me.
Because of the...
You just completely... Bathroom? My world is completely changed.
Not best.
Yeah, I just thought the majority of women... My sister didn't even take baths.
Me and Carrie could be weird. I don't know. There's a lot of people listening. Take a poll. What women take baths to wash themselves, not just luxurious, you know,
soaking in Epsom salts
or bubble bath, but who go to a bath to wash?
Yeah, that is really interesting. I mean, when you watch Westerns, everybody takes a bath.
In the old days, yeah, but that also people died of salmonella poisoning and typhoid. What was that?
Typhoid.
But we don't die from typhoid anymore.
No.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that happen in the old days. And they used to die in childbirth.
Wow.
Having a baby was life-threatening.
I've been living a lie.
It's amazing.
This entire time.
It's just blow your mind.
I'm all red from being in the sun today.
You are.
I was out in the pool for 2 hours.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Put some cream on. Okay. You got big crow's feet here now. Okay,
that's from,
we're going to land this.
That's from how being how happy I am.
Oh.
All right. How are we going to land this plane?
Lord, I pray especially for young people today. Reveal yourself today to someone who really needs to see you, Lord. We love you. And we have these children, Lord, all of us, children, grandchildren, loved ones, Lord. And we need to teach them more about being worshipers. Give us the words, Lord. Give us the wisdom to raise them well and to help them with their own children and with those around us to help them understand what it means to be a worshiper and to use their talents in a way that is productive, in a way in which would honor the Lord. We're so grateful for all that you do in and through us. We ask for a continued blessing over our friends that are suffering from ailments, for Carrie and her eyes to continue to be healed, and all of the other friends of ours, Lord, that are suffering from one ailment or another, Lord. We ask for a supernatural healing.
Jim. He has AFib.
Oh, right. And Jan and her eyes, Lord, continue to heal them, Lord, and restore them. Restore them to wholeness, Lord. We love you. We're so grateful for all that you're doing through us. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends.
I see Kelly says women in the 50s never took showers, only baths. I think it's left over from the Westerns.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my mom is definitely a product of the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my friends. Thank you for answering all my questions today. This has been, speaking of revelation, there's been so many revelations.
Revelations. Okay. Today. Love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. We love you.
Happy
guys.
Sunday.
Yes, tomorrow. Well, not for Kate. Kate, if she was watching. It's Sunday already.
But you know what I mean. Happy Sunday.
God bless. Ooh. Take care.